Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always ABC streaming News, on the Civic
I'm
Media
Lena
app.
Roy. Russia is blaming Ukraine for a deadly attack on a key bridge. A husband and wife killed, their daughter injured, on the span described as a key route connecting Russia's mainland with Crimea.
Russia says Ukraine used underwater drones in this attack. And in a fiery statement, Moscow's foreign ministry spokesperson blamed American and British intelligence for direct participation. Kyiv has yet to comment, but this bridge has been attacked before. In October last year, a truck loaded with explosives blew up, damaging both rail and road connections.
ABC's James Longman. New York City naming a new police commissioner this morning. Edward Caban is the first Latino to get the job in the city's history. The trial of Pittsburgh synagogue attacker Robert Bowers. He's already been convicted of killing 11 people in a massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018. Last week, jurors decided he can be executed. Now they'll decide if he should be. This is ABC News. Rock legend Elton John testifying today in London in the sexual assault trial of actor Kevin Spacey. John called as a defense witness as Spacey's lawyers try to cast doubt on the timeline laid out by his accusers. Four men say the Oscar winner assaulted them, some of the allegations going back decades. And in the 1 year since 988 went live as the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, officials now say people have reached out via calls or texts 5 million times.
Transforming the old 10-digit crisis line into a 3-digit system that allows for calls, texts, and chats has boosted the number of contacts. What's more, people in crisis are guaranteed anonymity.
Sometimes when we talk to those closest to us, there's a fear of how will my feelings make them feel.
Danny Silverstein of the Long Island Crisis Center.
When you call an anonymous and confidential helpline, that's not really part of the equation.
Federal officials hope to have 90% of calls, texts, and chats answered. So far, only 18 states have reached that goal. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
Green Bay and Brown County SWAT teams partnered to make a major drug bust on Friday. Authorities from the Green Bay Police Department and Brown County Sheriff's Office took several people into custody after executing a search warrant on the 800 block of Baird Street on the city's east side. The owner of the property is 65-year-old James Priestler, known internationally as Uncle Fester. He is now in custody and faces multiple felony drug charges. Priestler is an amateur chemist who has a history of distributing narcotics and has even written and published books about making illegal drugs.
A Green Bay woman is arrested for obstructing a murder investigation. 21-year-old Kaylana Brunette was charged with 4 counts of obstruction and aiding a felon. Brunette is accused of and admitted to lying to authorities to protect her boyfriend, Prez Wade. Wade was arrested for the March 1st murder of Braxton Phillips. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply.
you may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
How many plays have you done over the years?
Oh, many. Many, many, many.
Would you do another one? Should we do a play? And put it up somewhere and do it as like a fundraiser someday?
That'd be great.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin on Monday, July 17th. And I'm your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinere. And it is looking like it's going to be the summer of strikes.
Big time.
And I guess my question to you is, do you support them? Do you support the strikes? Do you support the unions? 844-967-2789. Because obviously, the one that I think right now is interesting. What do you think people are going to feel more, the WGA SAG strike or the UPS strike?
Oh, I think they're both going to have major impacts.
One, I think, is, well, I don't know, because I think both could be bad for the economy. If you think about how much TV shows and award shows and movies, if that starts to really come to a still, like a standstill. Actually, there was entertainment mogul Barry Diller was on Face the Nation over the weekend. And he said that a prolonged Hollywood strike could mean the absolute collapse of an entire industry. Because remember, this hasn't happened since 19... It hasn't happened in 63 years.
Wow.
So that was the funny joke that the last time this happened, Ronald Reagan was president of SAG. And then someone was joking. He's like, does this mean Fran Drescher is going to be president someday? but he said on Face the Nation, if it doesn't get settled until Christmas or so, then next year, there's not going to be many programs for anybody to watch. So you're going to see subscriptions get pulled, which is going to reduce the revenue of all these movie companies, television companies, the result of which is that there will be no programs. And at that time, the strike is settled and you want to get back up, there just won't be enough money. So his recommendation is that Diller said executives and the highest paid actors should take a 25% good faith pay cut, which I think would be good.
I think that would be great. I don't think that'll ever happen.
You know what I was thinking about? It's like, because a lot of this, when we're talking about the writers, and a lot of this is coming down to like how AI is changing things, how the industry of streaming is changing things, and just the how the deals are structured. Because like I still get you know, they're pennies usually, but I still get checks in the mail for different shows that I did. But like, if any of those shows are streaming, like I don't see any of those. It's, right. it's when they're actually, that's usually because they were actually playing on air, usually overseas, that I still get any of the checks that I get. But, you know, like the ability for workers to continue to get paid. And you have to remember, most SAG members can't even afford health insurance. Like, we're, and this is the thing, I think there's a discrepancy between the celebrities that you see and how much money they make and the average, not even the average, but like, you know, even working actors who you recognize, you're like, I've seen them on something. Those are not millionaires.
No, they're not.
And they maybe make a decent living between when they cobble together guest star appearances, a commercial once or twice a year. But all of that stuff doesn't pay the way that it used to. And so all of that money is getting siphoned to the top. But it's not even like the top top. Because remember when we were talking about Netflix and they had posted a job description.
Oh, yes.
For a flight attendant on their private Netflix plane. And the salary was like $300,000. So this is also like the multi six-figure salaries that the people working at Apple, the people working like the corporate employees, not the artists and the writers and the actors and the Teamsters and all the crew that actually makes the project, but the like support staff of the marketing teams and stuff like that, all of whom make well into six figures.
Wow.
For sure. At those studios and networks and stuff like that, for sure that's what they're making. All those people with MBAs. And so on the one hand, there's the SAG-WGA strike. On the other hand, there is the UPS strike that I think none of us actually will feel of how much that will affect us until
it happens.
Here.
Yep.
There's also the United Auto Workers Union is about to start negotiations with the big three automakers as its current contract expires in September. Fast food workers in L.A. have taken to the streets to protest low wages and unsafe working conditions. There's also been another wave of hotel workers who are striking in Southern California after 61 hotels failed to meet an agreement over employee contracts at the end of last month. And locally in Wisconsin, Line and Kugel's brewery workers are striking in Chippewa Falls. And so workers say wage increases offered by brewer and parent company Molson Coors don't keep pace with inflation. So I guess with word of high, very high profile strikes or pending strikes, and just in general, kind of the like, where do you stand on supporting unions? Where do you stand on these strikes? 844-967-2789. Where do you stand, Jane Mettner?
Well, as far as the writers and the actors, from what I understand, they're being asked to do some pretty shocking things. An actor who's like a background actor, and you can explain what that is, but a background actor maybe makes $200 for the day.
Yeah.
And then they want to allow, they want to own that image forever.
Yeah.
So forever.
So basically what they are proposing is the ability for background actors who normally, you know, you show up. It's certainly not glamorous work, but it pays, right? And that's how a lot of people end up making their getting into SAG, of actually accruing the most enough hours by doing background work. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's people who are
in the restaurant.
Walking in the background, at us, you know, like there was tons of people, I'm sure because I've heard stories of people who've called in before who were extras for Major League when they filmed at County Stadium, right?
Yep.
But like those weren't SAG actors. Those were people in Wisconsin who were ready to, but anyone who did that, if you knew anyone who did that, you got an experience of what being a background actor is, which is a lot of waiting, a lot of resets into doing the, like being in your place. Maybe you're assigned to walk across the background and you have to do it the same way every time. But it's paid work. And what the studios are trying to suggest is that now background workers would get paid for one single day.
That's it.
get their image scanned by AI so that the studio owns it in perpetuity and never has to pay for it more than that one day's worth of work.
And they can plug you into whatever they want.
They can plug you into any future movie and just basically eliminate the need for labor and get away with paying pennies.
Yes.
And of course, that is how a lot of people make money. That is, but it's also the fact of, it's just the industry has changed. And the fact that Bob Iger can make $27 million a year and then say that the writers and the actors are the ones being unrealistic.
I know.
Is so, and I think it's such a bad example because I think there's so much glamour and glitz around the entertainment industry when we're talking about the top 1% of actors who are rich and famous. But how many do not fall under that category?
By a long shot.
And so, but it's the same thing, you know, I think it's the same thing I saw over the weekend, a UPS driver on a TikTok responding because someone, you know, left a crappy comment saying how UPS, because I think full-time UPS drivers make about $42 an hour.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's great.
And he was saying, he's like, I think he was arguing why when you see, because it's often like, I think sometimes people get caught up in like the comparison game of how much you make hourly compared to what I make hourly. And does that job require that much skill and stuff like that? But there's the other way to think about this is how much money is the company making? How much revenue is being generated? How much of that is profit? And how much of that profit is not being shared among the people who actually make the company work?
Yes, and do the labor.
Versus being pooled at the top or pooled to be able to have earnings calls that show how profitable the company is, even though the reason why it can afford to be that profitable is because they're not paying people and sharing the success of the company when this point of these strikes is to show, like, this doesn't work without us.
I mean, they're going to hire scabs.
They will hire scabs.
I've read that they have some training underway already.
Yeah. Well, that's for the Teamsters. Last week, UPS said it will temporarily begin training non-union employees in the U.S. to step in should there be a strike. But I don't know. I think I'm on the side of disruption is not a bad thing. If it actually could force the needle for some change.
For some change, right. And I think people forget as well, we're talking about income inequality now, going back to the golden age, the gilded age,
mm-hmm.
when the oil barons and the wood barons and the mining barons had everything. We're back there when CEOs are making 1,300% over their lowest paid employee.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. It's just crazy.
And I don't know why, for people who defend those folks. Is it because there's this like suspension of disbelief that you think that you could be that someday?
Oh, for sure.
Is like the defense of the super wealthy. And even when we talk about the tax stuff of like, why, like this, like for the average person, even the average person who's above average, right? Like people who are making 100 to 200 grand a year, which is comfortable, but you're not that guy. And still some of these people who just project themselves into thinking like, well, it could be.
So and
we got to protect that guy.
That's
because
right.
It could be me someday. It's like, not likely. You're much more likely to lose your job and go bankrupt than you are to ever be that guy. All right. Well, if you have thoughts on, do you support unions? Do you support the strikes that are happening? Are you cheering for the summer of strikes? 844-967-2789. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 75. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight lows level off around 55. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow highs level off around 78. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On WGBW.
All night parties and invitations. Even from his best friends. They've been waiting. I can tell they've been thinking. This would be time that little.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are talking about the summer of strikes, seemingly.
Sure between, seems that way.
Between the UPS looming strike and WGA, who's been on strike for more than 70 days at this point, SAG, who joined them last week, lighting Kugels up north, fast food workers, hotel workers. Also, the news industry, there's more and more news industry people who are basically renegotiating contracts. I know, like, always kind of getting word with, like, Gannett. And again, the CEO of Gannett makes plenty of money.
Is he struggling? I'm sure he's struggling.
He's fine.
I think he's struggling.
And yet, you know, cuts and cuts and cuts, not only to Wisconsin newspapers, but across the all of the different properties that Gannett owns for under USA Today. And so we're asking you, do you support unions? As you hear more stories of people organizing and protesting and trying to take back some power from, you know, not only the corporations and the heads of the corporations, but also, you know, this comes back to hedge funds. This comes back to private equity. This comes back to shareholders and just the structure of most of these companies, if they're a publicly traded company, is their main priority is to maximize profit at, you know, whatever cost. And even though most of these industries, where the actual value of the product or the service comes from, is from labor. And if they don't stand up now, especially with AI coming or here, what do we do?
Right.
844-967-2789.
Robert from Monona texted in, strike, strike, strike. The strike will bring attention to the problem. And we have Mark, again, our friend from the SAC. Mark, you saw a movie that kind of chilled you a little bit.
Well, in 1981, there's a movie called Looker, where this one model, I can't remember the details now, but what happened is all these models started dying mysteriously after they had some plastic surgery done. And part of the plastic surgery, they're getting full body scans and all this. And then, but then, subsequent to their deaths, their image was being used, maybe modified just a little bit. But I couldn't help but think, you know, this is what, when I first started hearing about it, you know, the coming of AI, that what that kind of foretold. I mean, that, but hell, I'm a guy that was concerned back when they changed the name of our personnel bureau to human resources, where people are just no longer persons, they're just another resource for the people at the top to use. I mean, that is just, it just kind of, you just wonder how toxic this could be. I mean, that.
Well, we're all replaceable, right? I think it's about, you know, they want to find a way to make more money and get rid of the workers. From the 414, do we support people standing together to get a fair piece of the pie? Yes, I support people that work hard for a company, allowing that company to make money and standing together to get a piece of that labor they helped earn. We as a nation have no animosity against the wealthy, but look down on our noses on the people that work hard every day. Remember, it wasn't very long ago we cherished those same essential workers, short memories. Yes, I support and I stand with unions. And I've had this discussion with some family members when they talk about the good old days when, you know, there were family-sustaining jobs and all of, you know, and there were no problem with getting services. Well, the highest tax rate was like 80%, 92%.
90, oh, yeah, it was 90.
92%.
And granted, that was on, that's not on your entire, you're not paying 90% of what you're making. It's on that top tax bracket,
right,
that like of that, you know, and Bernie Sanders has talked about this. Elizabeth Warren has talked about this. It's like, after $1 billion, should we not have a pretty progressive? Like, once you've made that billionth dollar,
right,
are we really like, no, 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 they should be able to keep all of that?
Well,
because it's also like, no one makes it on their own. Like, the amount, like, what has to happen? Like, because we always forget, like, the difference between a million and a billion is basically a billion. And the fact that, like, the arguments to be made as far as there is no ethical way to make $1 billion, and yet we want to protect these people. Not collectively, but a lot of people are at least complacent to let them accrue massive amounts of wealth that only continues to stack the cards against everyone else and lead to all of these societal issues that we're seeing because they're trying to make more money and they're gobbling up the resources for people to have a sustainable lifestyle.
Absolutely. And the other thing that was very common in the good old days were strong unions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a secret.
And I understand that there's criticism towards unions and that any kind of organization, there is misallocation of funds.
Sure.
There is bad
things can go on.
There's bad leadership.
Yep.
There's
crooked leadership.
There's crooked leadership. There are frustrations as far as how the union is run. And so it's not that like there, it's this like utopia, but having power or having a balance and some kind of negotiating power and protection, we can see, we can look at history of what that created for people versus where we are now. So, all right. Well, if you have more thoughts on the unions, if you support unions, if you support the strikes that are happening, 844-967-2789. But also, before we end the show, to end on a lighter note, as Y2K fashion, which was my middle school age, high school age, is back in style. Wanted to ask you, what clothing item from your childhood would you like to see make a comeback? And what do you hope never comes back? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm gone.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW. ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. A search continues for two young children missing after deadly flooding over the weekend in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, not far from Philadelphia. Upper Makefield Fire Chief Tim Brewer says crews are racing to find them with more rain in the forecast.
We have basically tripled the number of assets in the area, mostly because of the weather conditions.
At least five people are dead. Another hot day across much of the nation. Tens of millions of Americans are under excessive heat warnings and advisories. At least two people are dead after an attack on a key bridge in Crimea. Russia calls it a terror attack and blames Ukraine. So far, no comment from Ukraine. In historic promotion in the New York Police Department, Edward Cabin, a 30-plus year veteran of the force, was named commissioner, the first Latino to hold the job. Tanya Kinsella named first deputy commissioner, the first woman of color appointed to the position. This is ABC News.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
Manitowoc police are looking for underage victims of a man they say offered drugs for sexual favors. 23-year-old Desmond McWilliams was arrested for child enticement last Tuesday. He showed up to meet a 16-year-old girl he had been texting with and found police instead. Authorities suspect there are other victims and are encouraging anyone who has had similar contact with McWilliams to contact the Manitowoc Police Department.
A hit-and-run leaves a bicyclist dead in Marinette County. The 48-year-old male victim was riding his bike on the interstate bridge on Highway 41 in Marinette when he was struck by a car. The incident happened about 2:18 a.m. on Saturday, July 15th. Marinette Police Chief John Lacombe tells Civic Media News that detectives are still processing evidence but have identified a suspect who has been cooperative. The name of the victim has not been released at this time.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Jane, were you a fashionable person when you were young?
No, I would say not.
You were never into like the trends?
I wanted things that mother wasn't going to buy for me.
Okay.
So when I was in grade school or high school, it was probably high school, was when all the designer jeans came along. Gloria Vanderbilt, designer jeans. And that was when labels started to become a big thing. And I think I told my mother that I wanted a pair of, you know, $20 jeans, and she laughed at me and said, she said, go to Penny's. So, yeah, I was not necessarily one of the fashionistas at school.
What about once you were like, you had your own money?
Then I started shopping at resale stores.
Okay.
And that was fun. Okay. That I really enjoyed.
Actually looking, doing the thrill of the hunt?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I would love to hear from you at home. We're going to light it up for the end of the show. But what clothing items from your era do you think could and should make a comeback? Or what should never come back? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because it's so funny to now be, you know, the second half of my 30s. And, you know, the Gen Zs are very excited about Y2K fashion, apparently.
So explain what that looks like.
What that looks like.
Yeah. What does...
So it's like wide-legged slacks, the claw clip, which I'm actually wearing one right now, to be fair, for anyone who's watching the live stream, you are always welcome to join us on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin, where you can watch us along with listen to us. But it's like mesh tops, mini skirts, colors. It's basically looking like you like stepped out of like a 2004 Disney show.
Okay.
So like Hannah Montana, Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
And you know, and it's not new, right? Like fashion trends have always been cyclical. But it's also funny because I feel like the advent of the internet has made everyone more fashionable, or at least like especially younger people, younger girls. Like your ability, because before it was like you'd look at things that were in a magazine.
Right.
Like I remember having collages of looks from magazines that I would try to like recreate, right? And now you can do a Pinterest board, and now you can do TikTok. And so like it's the same thing as where it's like people's makeup is better, people's hair is better, because there's like so many more examples of what to quote unquote aspire to.
Sure.
Versus even though the internet in the early 2000s, like it was a thing, I feel like it wasn't as, I feel like I look back at some of those things, it's like, it's kind of like the 90s also, like not a great fashion era as far as like stuff that was flattering.
No, it was all grunge, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so, but it's like the sale of women's cargo pants is up 81% from January to May.
What?
Yeah.
With 97 pockets?
It was, yeah. And so I did not know. Did I ever have cargo pants? I don't know. But yeah, like biker jackets, denim garments, crop tops. I have seen like the request of my age and older women be like, I'm just asking the fashion companies, like, can you please make a whole shirt?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Not all of us necessarily want to show off our bellies again.
For some, that's not our best area.
But would love to hear from you as far as, you know, if you think back to the fashion trends, maybe some of it has already come back. Like, I know bell bottoms had a moment again.
Which are bad.
You don't like bell bottoms?
No.
You never liked bell bottoms?
Of course. Well, sure. And, you know, when I was 12. But I can look back through some old pictures and the guys looked ridiculous with they would wear platform shoes and bell bottoms.
And I'm sure there's some guys who really wish we could bring platform shoes back.
I'm sure there are.
I mean, I think Ron DeSantis has already done that, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Which reminds me, another thing I hope never comes back, speaking of Ron DeSantis, white go-go boots.
Oh, is that what he was wearing specifically?
No, they were rubber boots, but they were white. And it just made me think of, that was a thing when I was in grade school, were white go-go boots.
I'm trying to, like, I whenever I think of bell bottoms, I think of that scene from Dazed and Confused in the very beginning when the girls are getting ready and they literally have like a pliers trying to like zip up the pants because like the tops were so, they were super high waisted and super tight.
Super tight.
And I always thought about that. I was like, well, what do you do when you have to go to the bathroom later and you didn't bring your pliers out back out with you and you don't have a bed to lay on to get them back up? But yeah. I've tried to think of other like moments in fashion that whether they're fun, whether they're fashionable or not, but also like fun. And so would love to hear from you on clothing items from your childhood that you're hoping make a comeback or hoping never come back. 844-967-2789. And I saw this question asked somewhere else and saw some answers. Heelys is one.
Those were the sneakers with, that could be roller skates.
I wonder if they still make those because I know that they still make like the light up shoes. Like I see little kids running around, and especially once it, like even when we were camping last weekend, one of Mike's cousin's kids, she was wearing them all day, but then once the like the sunset actually and check it was like, oh, she has the little light up shoes that I remember like we still had those and those were so fun. But Heelys were the ones that you can like you can roll on.
Now you can get them with lights.
Oh, both. Double Heelys, whammy.
Heelys with lights for $45.
All right. So they haven't gone away.
No, they haven't.
Maybe not as popular.
No.
But
now that they they light up.
The big thing for I'm hoping these never come back, but I remember my age. This was high school, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure plenty of white kids in Wisconsin are guilty of this who are around millennial age, puka shell necklaces.
Oh, wow. See, I helped originate those.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I was in the generation, well, it was in the 70s, 60s and 70s. So, I had a puka shell necklace.
Was it like a tight one, like a little choker?
Yeah, yeah.
I had one that I didn't make one, but I was in high school. I had a puka shell necklace at one point. I also made a lot of my own hemp necklaces.
Oh.
And like between like hemp necklaces and like friendship bracelets and stuff, like as far as like I see women like people who crochet and stuff for like to keep their hands busy now. In high school, I was really into keeping my hands busy with making those, but I was also really into beading.
Really?
Yeah. It's like I had tons of beads and stuff, and so I would make my own like beaded necklaces and spend way too much money, like whatever money I had at the time at bead stores. But I don't feel like that's as, like, I don't know the last time I saw a beaded necklace.
Oh, but that's still a very big, I mean, there's a beads and buttons show in Milwaukee.
Oh, is there?
Yes, every year.
All right.
It's been going on for decades. Decades.
I'm trying to think, like, what else was really, I remember JNCO pants. I hope those never come back.
What are JNCO pants?
JNCO pants were, they were really big, like for skaters. I was never, let it be known, I was never a skater.
You mean an ice skater?
No, like a skateboarder.
Oh, okay.
And this was, I think, like late 90s. And they were just massively oversized pants. Like they fit your waist so they wouldn't fall down, but like how wide the legs were, and like sometimes they'd have like a stripe up the side, or there was a little while that they came with like patches on them that like sewn into them already, like that said JNCO or had some kind of like caricature or cartoon character on it and stuff, like anime or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm sure my mother at some point was like, why the hell is she wearing these? Like, you know, because that was just what's cool. And I feel like they weren't functional though, because it's just like a lot of fabric.
And you must have just been a skinny beanpole. You must have been drowning in those.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, crop tops where I remember were big, and those are already back. But I'm trying to think, like, is there any like older stuff, like house dresses?
House dresses.
Like comfortable cotton dresses that like could make a comeback?
Wow, they were so ugly.
Were they?
Oh, yes. If I'm remembering correctly, and if I'm not, please call and correct me or send a text. 844-967-2789. But in my recollection, house dresses were always floral. And they had, it just snapped up the front.
But they could probably make them like, more flattering now, but with the same concept of just, I mean, I guess that's kind of what a sundress is now.
Pretty much. Although a sundress is much more flattering than a house coat. It looked like a cheap bathrobe. I mean, that's what I remember.
All right.
They had pockets. That was a big advantage.
What was like the least functional thing you think you ever remember invest being like, this looks good though?
Overalls.
How are overalls not functional?
For a kid, what do I need to be? I mean, I was a teenager. I didn't work on a farm. But it was a real big trend for girls to wear farmer's overalls.
Like oversized farmers, like.
Yes.
Because now I think overalls are still a thing.
Is it fashionable?
I don't know. I've certainly seen a lot of maternity overalls that I keep debating. Do I want to buy a pair? But I have a pair of overalls that I just, for the summer, just to throw something on with a tank top.
Yeah.
That's functional though. I'm talking about like something that is like, this doesn't make any
serve
sense.
Any purpose? Mood rings.
Ah. Yeah.
I loved my mood ring.
Was it accurate?
No, it's held by body temperature. It would change colors depending upon how warm or cold your hands got.
We got a couple texts coming in from the 608 WAUK. What is the deal with the high-waisted mom jeans being a thing again? Seriously. That is a thing. Mike's sisters and I as well, we, you know, they're comfortable.
Are they?
They are comfortable. But yeah, they're like high-waisted and it's kind of like the SNL mom jeans skit with like the 9-inch zipper. And you're like, why does it need to go that high? And it makes your butt kind of like look a little flat and wide. But for some reason, they're popular again. And every time me or one of his sisters wear it, Mike's like, why are you wearing those ugly pants?
Oh, that's hilarious.
But those have certainly come back in style. And then up in Green Bay from the 920, never again parachute pants.
Oh.
Boy, that grew up in the 80s.
Parachute pants. Oh, man.
I feel like, are parachute pants like hammer pants?
That's what I would.
I feel like those are probably comfortable.
Oh, I don't doubt that they're comfortable, but they look kind of
like a harem pants.
That looks good. I mean,
I'm also in the stage of my both life, but also pregnancy right now that like everything is just for comfort.
Oh, for sure.
And I've constantly asked that, like, when is this stage? This is, I'm probably going to get in some trouble with my mom and other older women of like the threshold of when you cross the Rubicon to like start shopping at Chico's. Or like the other like older women's stores where like everything's like a linen pantsuit.
Right.
And like it's clearly your like you're still trying to look good, but like you start caring way more about if it's comfortable.
Absolutely.
Than if it's fashionable.
Absolutely.
And like there's just like an older woman's style that starts to become like, and I like, what, when does that happen when you're like, well, this is where I shop now?
I think it's probably in your 50s.
Okay.
When
where do you shop now?
I don't shop. I just don't.
Fair.
I recycle. I have things that are so old. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm past my crop top. Yeah. Not gonna happen.
We're not gonna get you a crop top.
Not
anytime
so
soon.
Much. No. But I think once women start, if you start developing foot problems, you will get away from heels because you will have to.
Oh yeah.
And that goes along with the changing aesthetic of, I start from the shoe up now.
Oh.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 75. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 55. High temperatures reach up to 78. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Storms continue. Once again, 75 this afternoon. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We got another text over the break of, and I don't know if this is something that, because the question was, what do you hope comes back? And what's something that you hope never comes back? And from the 414 on WAUK, we got a text saying, Zumba pants.
Zumba pants.
So I don't know if that's something they're hoping does or does not come back. But Zumba pants, and I don't know if they were ever, I feel like Zumba pants, like, they're kind of like parachute pants. Very loud. Bright
lots
prints.
Of stripies, you know, like tiger stripes and stuff like that.
But I don't know if that was ever, like, was that ever, I would say one of the, this is also a Y2K fashion that I could get on board with, which is the juicy pantsuits.
Oh, like really?
We're just talking about comfort.
True.
Right? And so, I also like the idea of, like, things that are now sets. Where it just comes with like the same, like either monochrome or similar like pattern that's like, it comes as a top and a bottom.
Sure.
Because I think I'm moving into not only like the comfort stage, but also like not having to think about it stage. I'm like, well, this is just an outfit.
Right. I can wear this.
I can just wear this and I don't have to be like, well, does this top go with these bottoms and should I put a belt on it? And
Zumba pants are just like better decorated sweatpants.
They clarified. Not. Do not bring
do not
back
come back.
Pants.
Do not bring them back.
And so, but yeah, I just thought, I think it's funny because I think there is a certain amount of those of us who lived through, and I'm sure this is, again, the cyclical nature of both the fashion itself, but also the feeling of, really? That's what you guys think is looks good right now?
I know, right?
Like butterfly clips? Really? Okay. Go for it.
Go for it.
But yeah.
You be you.
You do you, man.
But the other, you know, there is one other thing I wish would come back, and I could probably still. I loved saddle shoes.
Oh, I like saddle shoes. I like that look. I like loafers and Oxfords yep. and saddle shoes.
Yep.
And I think you could probably find some saddle shoes somewhere.
Probably. I mean, it was a very 50s thing, mm-hmm. but there was a brief resurgence when I was in high school, and I was always a. Yeah, I just thought they were snappy.
I feel like I saw A League of Their Own, and then I got a pair of saddle shoes.
Oh, really?
I think that was the order of operations of, like, they wore them in that movie, and then I'm pretty sure I got a pair, and I was, like, 6.
Oh, wow.
And so, just got another text from Monroe 608. I'm driving, so I can't call in, but I ended up getting a hold of a pair. They were kind of parachute pants, but they were lined. They're lined with warm material, and they are my favorite pair of pants to wear in the winter. I can find another pair. If I could find another pair of these, I'm all over it.
Nice, so fleecy, nice and fleecy on the inside.
Yeah.
Texter from the 608. I loved my saddle shoes, and then I begged my mom for a pair of penny loafers.
Oh.
That was a thing too. You had to have a penny in your penny loafers.
Yeah. But I also like androgynous, like menswear for women that I always think looks good. Like I said, like Oxfords and loafers and stuff like that. Like, I think that's like a cute style for women. Suspenders. I don't think you've ever seen me in a pair of suspenders, because it's one of those things where I always think looks good, but I don't think I'm cool enough to actually pull off.
I think body types can make a lot of determinations about whether you're a suspender person or not.
Maybe. Sometimes you just gotta have the confidence. Sometimes it's just a confidence game, Jane.
That's true.
You know?
You just gotta own it.
You just gotta rock
it.
You gotta
own it.
Look at Lizzo. Wears what she wants.
Yeah, that's
Jane has thoughts. All right. Yeah. Well, as a reminder, Civic Pints Blood Drive. Blood donation challenge, we should say. It's not actually a drive. But I cannot donate because I'm pregnant, which I found out on Friday. But as a reminder, between now and the end of the month, if you donate blood anywhere in Wisconsin and then post it to social media and do hashtag Civic Pints, you will be entered to win Brewers tickets, Wisconsin State Fair tickets, swag, and also just be considered a good person, because we are in a blood. There's a shortage right now.
Yes.
And so any donations are very, very, very welcome. And
sometimes
so,
folks just need a reminder, you know?
Yeah.
If you haven't donated in a while, you can donate every six.
Every 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, I think. But
every 8 weeks. Greg Bach is in the other room giving me the signal. Every 8 weeks. So if you haven't donated in a while, now's a good time to do it, because you can actually win some prizes from us when you do it. But speaking of prizes, we're also going to be giving away Brewers tickets later this week, maybe as soon as tomorrow. We got Wisconsin State Fair tickets that we're going to start giving away. So
yes,
they're coming up with some contests.
Oh, yes.
And I think this week we'll discuss the new foods that are going to be introduced at the state fair and what it actually sounds appealing, what does not.
Oh, some of it's scary.
What have you heard so
there's
far?
There's some pickle they're trying to do.
There's like a pickle donut.
Yeah, which that is, ooh, no.
See, I kind of want to try everything, but I also feel like the attempt to try everything is very expensive.
It's going to add up.
It adds up. When all you want, I just want a bite. I don't need the whole thing. I just want to say that I tried it.
Well, I do have the company credit card, you know.
Ooh, could we put this as an expense?
It's
if we make a video about it.
We're doing research.
If we make content around it, do you think we can get away with it?
Let's do it and then ask later.
Oh, that's a great idea. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, coming up tomorrow, we have a full show. Dan Schaefer is going to be here, and I'm sure we're going to talk about lots of things Milwaukee. I know they're talking about 794. That's pretty specific to Milwaukee, but we'll see how much we can make that applicable to the rest of the state when it comes to affordable housing and decisions that get made that affect a lot of people. But we also are going to be talking to Professor Huber, who is going to be talking about a new recycling technique developed in Wisconsin that could help keep flexible plastics out of landfills.
And we're talking about childcare, too.
And we're going to talk about childcare. We're going to talk about, in Antigo, there was a collaboration, basically, that helped small northern, like, helped Antigo.
Antigo.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're still a newbie in the state. That's
I know.
Okay.
With child, like a success story, honestly. So yeah, so we have a great show coming up tomorrow. Coming up for the rest of the day, you got the noon newscast, and then Town Call, and then Todd Alba. So stick around for the rest of the day, and then come back tomorrow. But for now, thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for being part of the show. It was a good Monday. Have a great day. Enjoy the weather, and we'll see you tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Way, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end.
1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.